At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the 494th episode of the Sales Podcast. I'm Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, your host, and we've got my brother from another mother, Mark Schaefer, comes back for his third time. I think he's the first one to come back three times, and it's not just because our name is close. He's just a great guy, smart marketer, prolific author. He's got a new book out, which I am really digging. Cumulative Advantage, How to Build Momentum for Your Ideas, Business, and Life Against All Odds. Rather good timing. He started writing this before, COVID came out, and we talk about the timing of it, and it's rather fortuitous. He got COVID last summer. We talk about that. He documented it, and he's older than me. If I had to guess, I'm almost 51. I think he's 10 years older. It hit him pretty hard. I think he said he had a fever for like 15 days. But he was able to document the whole thing. So he wasn't terribly sick, but he didn't breeze through it like my kids. I had a fever for 5 days, was sick for 5 days before that. Felt like a sinus infection. But we get into that, how he recovered, lessons learned. But from a sales and marketing standpoint, he's just full of wisdom. You thought I was going to say full of it. No, he's one of the few guys that aren't full of it. Seth Godin says all marketers are liars. I would say all marketers except Mark. So you are in for a treat. I've already checked in for my flight heading to Austin tomorrow. Go see my mama. Actually, as this gets released, I will have already been there and actually almost on my way back. So I'm going out to see her for her birthday, and then she's coming out to see us. We've got 5 April birthdays, starting with mine in early April, and then we've got 4 within 8 days. So, something about July, but I'll let you do the math. So fun times coming up in April. As soon as I hit record on this, heading to my noon no-gi jiu-jitsu rolls on Tuesday is what we do. Take advantage of the rebranding and updated content in the Sell More of Everything course, sellmoreofeverything.com, 30% off. If you enter promo code MARCH, you'll get 30% off. Part of the rebranding celebration. I'm working with a new guy. We'll be doing a promo on some of my consulting and then eventually get down to a big promo on the course. But it won't be as much of a discount as that is. So the longer that goes, then the less I discount it. So if you're interested, you can join month to month or for an entire year. And with the year, you save even more money. So there you go. Sellmoreofeverything.com. Go do that and then come back and listen to this interview with Mark Schaefer. Mark Schaefer, my brother from another mother. Welcome back to the Sales Podcast. How the heck are you?
I could not be better. And I'm serious.
I know. We were talking earlier. We both got tiger blood from the COVID and live to tell about it. So
hear me roar.
Hear us roar. So, man, if I can't do podcasts as fast as you write books. What the heck is going on? How are you such a machine, man? Cumulative advantage. How to build momentum for your ideas, business, and life against all odds is out.
That is my new book. Well, I know this sounds weird because I've written a book about every 2 years, but I do not have a plan to write books. I only write a book when I have a huge idea that I think will help a lot of people. When I see something going on in the world with my customers, my clients, my students that I don't understand. And I get obsessed, Wes. I just go down this weird rabbit hole and I don't come out till I figure out the answer to the problem. And I think the problem that every salesperson, every marketing person, every business is facing today, it's really one big thing. How can we be heard? How can we be seen? How can we be found? And my gosh, it's getting so hard. There's so much content out there and so much competition. And I'm not the kind of person to roll over and say, oh, well, it's hard, too bad. I want to figure out, what do you do? I mean, what practically can an individual or a business do? So I worked on this idea about creating momentum. How do you create momentum? And it led me all the way back to this research that started 50 years ago and this concept called cumulative advantage. And it says the momentum builds if you have some initial advantage. And then there's this pattern that sort of occurs. And if you follow this pattern, you will distance yourself from your competitors and they will never catch up. So this has been shown in athletics, education, business, entertainment, health, just about every field. But it's all been in academia. It hasn't really been applied to a practical way to our lives and our businesses. So that was my challenge, to crack that code and figure out how do we take this pattern and apply it in our lives. And so that's what the book is about. People are really, really loving it. It's affecting people in a very powerful way. So that's been really rewarding to see.
Mm-hmm. I think Malcolm Gladwell kind of, it's springing to mind. I think it was in the book Outliers.
It was, exactly. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Did that influence you, or did you just run across that, or kind of?
I connected the dots a little later. I'm a huge Malcolm Gladwell fan. I definitely style my writing after him. You know, at the core of all of Malcolm's stories, there's like some statistic or some research. So he tells this big, long, winding story. And then he said, well, of course it's that way. Stanford University found in 1968 that da 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 da. And my style is sort of like that. And I remembered the piece in Outliers about basically what he's saying is that the success we have today is not necessarily always deserved. And the failures that we have are not necessarily deserved either, that we're all sort of riding the crest of a wave of things that happened a long time ago, and these build in a certain way. And that, and then I linked this idea. There was this research done by a guy named Franz Johansson, showed that almost every successful person and every successful business started with a random event. And it's kind of mind blowing, to tell you the truth. And I do this little test in my classes. Or workshop, I'll say, now think about where you were 10 years ago and where you are today. How did you get to where you are today? Did you have a vision and say, that's where I'm going? Or were you inspired to do this because of a person that you met or a book that you read or something, you know, a podcast that you listened to? And it's always, almost always some random thing. In my own life, I can point to the fact that in the early 90s, I was stuck in my job. I was in this marketing job, this Fortune 100 company, and I was looking around, what am I going to do next? And the internet was beginning. And I was looking at this thing and I thought, I think there's some interesting business applications here. So if you could imagine, I went to my boss and I said, I would like to get an AOL account and put it on my expense account. He thought I was crazy. He thought this was the biggest waste of money, but he agreed. So I was the first person in this Fortune 100 company to be on the internet. 2 years later, company wakes up and says, oh my goodness, we need to have an e-business department, a global e-business department. Who shall run it? Mark Schaefer, you've been on the internet longer than anybody. It's you. And that really kind of explains why I'm talking to you today. Because I had this idea back in the early 90s. I pursued the idea with my boss. I didn't just let it drip, just didn't let it go away, evaporate. And the timing was good because the internet was exploding. So, and then built up a successful department, momentum. And then eventually started my own consulting practice. And here I am with you. So I can, you know, make this direct line between our conversation today and our social media connection and the friendship we've had for years. I can make a direct connection to asking my boss for an AOL account in the early 1990s. That's sort of how life works.
Yeah. And it's so like, I want to explore both implications of that because I mean, on the one hand, someone could use that as an excuse to say, see, this is why I never do anything, but it's not worth it, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, the reality is it's like, well, the old adage, you know, life is not what happens to us, but it's our reaction to what happens to us. Sure. Right. I mean, you were.
Well, that's the key idea is that you've got to know when these doors are opening and you've got to go through that door with great power and great effort and great confidence. You know, look, making good decisions still matters. Working hard. Of course, you've got to work hard. But it is interesting. When people read the book, they kind of say, you know, I never really thought about it that way. But it's funny that all these sort of things happened. But the key thing is they made good decisions. They were aware that this was an opportunity, and they had the guts to sort of go through with full force.
Yeah. And it does take a little bit of guts. Huh? Like, were you nervous when you asked your boss to expense it? Did you think he'd fire you or call you crazy?
I mean, that was really low risk. I mean, but there have been a lot of things I've done in my life that were very nerve wracking. Well, look, I'll tell you something, Wes. You know what's the most nerve wracking thing a human being can possibly do? I think is write a book. It's because there is no greater risk to your personal brand than writing a book. Because it's not like a tweet you can take down later. You write a book, you can't say, whoops, got it wrong. Sorry, it's out there. It's your legacy. It's permanent. And I mean, it's so stressful. When I finished writing this book, I had nothing left. I worked so hard on this book. It took everything out of me. I needed a break. It was just exhausting. And then when you put it out there, you know, I thought it was a good book. I thought it was a solid book, but you just never know. You don't know until people start to read it. And much to my delight, people have absolutely loved this book. And they a lot of people said it's my best book.
So walk me through your book writing. You said that you never intend to write a book, an idea grabs you. I mean, is it literally like you stumble upon something and then that's it? Your head's down for 3 months, 6 months, a year, however long it takes, and it pops out? Or is it maybe there's a thread, you kind of look back after 3 months or 6 months or a year, you go, oh my gosh, I need to assemble this? Is it a little bit of both?
It's generally the same process each time. This book was a little different because I had a pandemic in the middle of it. We could talk about that, but generally it goes like this. So, well, let's use Marketing Rebellion for an example. I'm so fortunate I get to go around the world, talk to big CMOs at big companies and small companies and startups and nonprofits and hospitals and universities. And in these conversations, I kept hearing the same thing. People would say, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like we're falling behind. Our marketing doesn't work like it used to. And I kept hearing this over and over and over. So I had a theory that technology was moving so fast that people were feeling overwhelmed. But I got obsessed. Okay, so there's a problem here. Everywhere I go, people feel they're overwhelmed and falling behind. What kind of a book would I write to solve that problem? So I thought this was a technology issue. I was wrong. I was one third down the path of working on the book. And I realized it's not a technology problem. It's a people problem. Our customers have moved away from us. They're always on. They have the accumulated knowledge of the human race in the palm of their hands. They expect more from companies and from marketing. And I sort of had this moment, I'll never forget it, where I thought, I don't know if I even know what marketing is anymore. How do you really connect to these people in the way they want to be connected? And so that was the idea. Figure this out. So then I wrote an outline. Here's what I think the chapters would be. 10, 12 chapters. I make an Evernote file for each of those chapters. And then for about 9 months or a year, I just watch the world. And as I see articles or blog posts or interviews, I slap them into those chapters. Oh, this would fit here. This would fit here. Look at this research. That's exactly what I was saying. Oh, look at this. I need to interview this person. That would fit here. And then I write normally over the Christmas holidays because I can't stop and start. So I need a long period of time to write this book. And so I'm usually too busy. But in the holidays, everything slows down, the consulting and everything, the speaking slows down. So I pull out my Evernote files. And if I've done a good job, all the research is there. And now I need to weave it into a story. So it's a very efficient process. It takes me about 9 months or a year to gather the research, gather the ideas, make sure I'm right, you know, and then say, okay, boom, it's time to write the book. And that's how it works for me.
So can you write it all in 2 or 3 weeks?
I can usually write it in about maybe 6 to 8 weeks. And then I'll send it to beta readers and they'll tell me that some chapter's all wrong. I need to do it over. And then eventually I'll get it to a final editor and to correct my grammar or whatever needs to be corrected. So, I mean, I can write it. Let's put it this way. I can put together a strong first draft in about 6 weeks.
So let's say somebody's got an idea. I mean, they've got a body of work, but they don't have, they've never been published. They don't have a contract.
Yeah.
Should they pound through it anyway, get it written and shop it? Should they?
Nope. They should
chapters.
They should self-publish. Just self-publish. You know, it's very easy and inexpensive to self-publish today. And I've done it both ways. My first 3 or 4 books were through McGraw-Hill. And I was very lucky to have that experience because that was the tail end of the heyday of traditional publishing. Then traditional publishing with the internet began to die. You publish through one of those big publishers, they're not going to promote your book. They're not going to support you. They're going to take most of the money and they're going to expect you to sell 5,000 copies, which is really hard. If you can sell 5,000 copies, then why do you need a publisher? Instead of making $1 a book, make $8 a book and just self-publish and do it yourself. And there's other advantages. You own that property. You own that work. If you go through a publisher, you don't own it. They own it forever and can do whatever they want with it. And I've had some bad experiences with that. And it also gives you flexibility because if you self-publish, you can buy as many books as you want for $3 or $4 a piece. The books that I published through McGraw-Hill, if I wanted a case of those books, I'd have to go to Amazon and buy them. Same price as everybody else.
Wow.
So there's a lot of advantages to self-publishing, and it's really not that hard, and it's not that expensive.
Cool. So your book, Cumulative Advantage, Life Again Against All Odds. So did you know we were going to have the toughest of odds coming at us? This would have been what, Christmas of 2019? Is that when you were putting it together?
Well, actually, because of different things that were going on in my life, I actually started writing this in the summer of 2019. Started putting together some ideas, and then had about 3 or 4 chapters written, and the pandemic hit. And so I sent the chapters, I mean, not only the pandemic, but we had political discord. We had social justice protests. The streets are burning. People are dying in hospitals with the pandemic. Everyone's locked in. And I'm thinking, what am I doing writing this book right now? So I took some of the chapters that I've written and I sent it to this friend of mine who it's a very, very brilliant man that I trust. And I sent him these chapters. I said, is this still a book? And he read the chapters and he sent me an email back and said, YES in capital letters and 3 exclamation points. He said, not only is this a book, he said, this is your legacy. This is going to be the best book you've ever written. So that sort of gave me the validation to keep going. But without question, the pandemic colored the tone of the book. And there's examples in there and there's connections in there to what's going on and you know, how could you not do that? Mm-hmm. So the pandemic and look, right now, you know, the entire process is now I'm in the marketing of the book, and it's difficult to market a book in the pandemic too, right? We still have 20 million people unemployed or underemployed, and people are still watching their money and they don't have as much time to read books because they're working at home and, you know, homeschooling their kids or whatever else is going on. So, I mean, it's taken a toll on every aspect of the process, but for me, it's an idea I had to get out. The time is right to get it out. So, you know, ship it. Ship the work. It's time to ship the work and see how it goes. And luckily, it's been going really well.
So you started writing it before COVID. You finished it during COVID, right?
Right, right.
How much did you have to go back and rewrite, or did you realize you were already onto something and it actually had prepared you for what was coming?
Well, the funny thing is, the against all odds part, I had it in the title even before the pandemic because life's hard. I mean, life is really, really hard. And we're at a point in this world where even if we're doing our best work, even if we're great, we're still being buried. It's just almost not fair. I can remember, Wes, you might even remember this. I wrote this blog post in 2014 called Content Shock. It was a really famous post. Mm-hmm. It literally went viral, was shared thousands and thousands of times. And I had thousands and thousands of comments on this thing. And a few weeks after I wrote this post, I Googled it. Content Shock. This is a word I made up. I wanted to see who else is writing something about Content Shock. I couldn't believe this. I was 3rd in the search results. Now, how is that even possible? This, I made it up. I was the author of this post. And what happened was the most powerful content didn't move to the top. The most powerful websites did. So these are websites that mentioned my post and mentioned this idea, but they were more powerful than me and they got the credit. So it's like, wow, what do you have to do? What do you have to do to stand out in this world? And that's just one example. But there are elements that, that surround us in many aspects of our life where you just think, oh my gosh, what do I need to do? And that's so my take on it was, look, when great isn't enough anymore, what do you do? And my the problem that I solve, I think, with this book is momentum. How do you create momentum? And I went back to research that started in the 1960s. I discovered this research and this pattern, and I think it fits. I think it's the right idea for our times.
So somebody's going to be listening to this saying, great, 10 years from now, I'll have momentum and I'll be rich and famous. Right now, I'm eating beans and weenie. is that just part of the hard life? You might as well get started because it may take you 5 or 10 years. So, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree, right?
Yeah. Well, look, there is an element of that. And that's the connection really between this book and that other book I wrote called Known. And in that book, it was about building your personal brand. One of the things I mentioned in that book and in this book is that these things, momentum, success for your personal brand, it is not an overnight success. It just isn't. And I tell a story in this new book about I had a chance to hang out backstage with the Black Keys, very famous rock band. Now, when I hung out with them, they were just on the cusp of big fame. They just released like their big breakthrough album and everything was going nuts for them. Now, when I saw them, they were still playing a venue, maybe 2,000 people. So I asked Patrick Carney, I said, what was the catalytic event? What was the thing that just made you burst on the scene finally? He said, there wasn't one. He said, we've been touring for 7 years. We've had 7 albums. And every tour is a little bit better than the last one. And every album is a little bit better than the last one. It's just steady, steady work. Steady, steady progress. You know this. If you look at your podcast downloads for your show, right? They go up, up, up. There's no big spike. There's no big hockey stick.
Oh, my servers get shut down when I publish yours.
Oh, that's good to know. Mr. Momentum, Mark Schaefer, is on our show with us. So, I mean, my blog subscribers, it just goes up and up and up. And as that goes up, your personal brand is going up. Your reputation is going up. Your access is going up. Your ability to call in favors from higher level people is going up. You know, your cumulative advantage is going up, right? Your momentum is going up. But there is no silver bullet. There just isn't. And all of this takes commitment, resilience, grit, determination. It just does. It's just like, you know, Patrick Carney told me there was no moment that took them to the top. Now, a year and a half after I talked to them, they sold out Madison Square Garden in 15 minutes. But that they were in their ninth year by then, their ninth year. So no substitute for that consistent hard work.
Yeah. All right. We're going to make people buy the book. We won't give everything away, but I do want to know about the Porcelain Club.
The Porcelain Club.
Oh, Porcelain. I'm sorry, I'm misreading.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Louisiana. English was an elective, man.
Ah, that's a great line. That is a great line. I'll probably steal that. Yeah, so one of the stories in the book, so I wanted to set the book up and show how it's easier for some people to have this momentum than others. And I told the story about the Winklevoss twins. And you might, that name might seem familiar. Sure. If you watched the social networking movie about Facebook, the Winklevoss twins were the chiseled, good look, 6 foot two rowers who came from a millionaire family. They grew up in the Hamptons. They went to private schools. They were at Harvard. So you're thinking, wow, these guys, they've got everything going for them. And then they got selected for the Porcelain Club. So the Porcelain Club is the oldest private club. It's a secret club. The oldest club in America. It was formed at Harvard in the 1700s. Secret club, all male club. And if you get tapped to be in this club, you basically have a network of power brokers, the people highest in government and business and the military and the judicial system and at universities. They're all your brothers, and they will open every door just because you're in the club. That's it. If you're in the club, your success is set. There's even sort of a rumor that if you don't make $1 million, your first $1 million, by the time you're 40, the Porcelain Club gives it to you so that everybody is guaranteed of being a millionaire by the time they're 40. If they call them the porks, if you're a pork. So it was my way of telling this story to say, you just look at their lives and just boom, 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 boom. And then if you can imagine, they were training for the Olympics. They were in, I believe it was the 2016 Olympics, and they were rowers. So they were unemployed amateur athletes. And yet they had enough money to go toe to toe with Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg in a lawsuit. By that time, you know, Facebook was on the cover of Time Magazine, one of the most powerful companies in the whole country. And they were able to basically get them into a corner and get a huge settlement from Facebook. They took part of that in stock. 3 years later, it's worth $500 million. And it's just like, oh my gosh, there's just no way these people can lose. Now, I come from a family of plumbers. I went to West Virginia University, and you know what? I paid for my whole tuition. The reason I went to West Virginia University is I couldn't afford to go anywhere else. But I've created momentum for myself. I've been successful. I've been able to go through these doors of opportunity. I've been able to make smart decisions, take risks, connect to people who can help me, and build momentum really on my own terms. And that's the point of the book, is that, look, very, very few people have a life handed to them like that, like the Winklevoss twins. Most of us have to fight and scrape and figure out a way to go forward. And what this book does, it shows there's a pattern. There's a path that you follow to create this momentum. It doesn't have to be all random. You can, and here's what I guarantee. When people read this book, they'll never see the world the same way again. When you meet a new person and they start telling you about the success of their business, you'll hear, aha, that was the initial advantage. Aha, that's the seam they went through. Aha, that's how they got awareness. Mm-hmm. And you start to see this pattern in people's lives, in businesses, and you'll start seeing the world through a lens of cumulative advantage.
Yeah, that's awesome. Going back to West Virginia, or even at your Fortune 100 company in the 90s, mm-hmm. I see two common threads or themes, if you will. Like, some are like, you know, at an early age, I'm going to, you know, create a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
Others are like, I don't know, I just want to give my kids a better life than I got.
Yeah.
You know, like, not very specific, but specific in a way. Right. Wow. So how precise, how specific should you have your goals? And do you have, like, you know, do you want to, sell a billion books and help a million people become, you know, millionaires, you know, or is it just, I want to have a better business. I want to make a dent in the universe, however that may come to pass. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's a really great question. I hadn't thought about it that way before, but I think it could go either way. So for example, when I was a little boy, my dream, my vision, I wanted to be either a baseball player or an astronaut. I didn't dream of being a digital marketing consultant or an author. It never even crossed my mind. I didn't write my first book until I think I was 49 or 50 years old when I wrote my first book. So it's not like I had some plan, but like most people, we didn't really follow our passion. Our passion followed us. My passion was baseball. It didn't end up being my career, but I want to tell you something, Wes. I love what I do. I love what I do. It's so rewarding. It's so interesting. I have fun every day. I wouldn't trade it for anything. So in a way, I kind of fell into it in a way because of these random things that happened in my life. So I didn't necessarily have a goal. I didn't start out with a goal of saying, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to be a teacher. I mean, I had some idea of what my life might look like. Now, I also think goals are important. And I do think you can apply this model of momentum to goals. And I'll give you a great example. I was talking to a fella who's an owner of a very large company who just read this book. And he said, this was really helpful for me because I could see what was missing. I could see what the next step is for me to get this momentum. I covered number one, I covered number two, and I see, yep, now I need vast awareness. That's what I need to be working on. So it just created clarity for him to achieve his goals for his company. He said, okay, this makes sense to build the momentum. This is now I see where I'm stuck and I know exactly what I need to work on to get to the next level. So so it's a great question. Thank you for asking it. And I could see that it works in both circumstances.
Mm-hmm. So you going back to publishing, this is self-published, right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
But you have a hardcover edition. How are you doing that? Are you not going through KDP?
Well, I went, so KDP is owned by Amazon.
Right.
And ACX, which is Audible, that's owned through Amazon. And it's really, really efficient and simple to publish through Amazon. And that's where most books are sold anyway these days. So why not just take the path of least resistance? And then there's another company that I use called Ingram Spark that does the hardcover book. Okay. And I mean, they do a beautiful job. I have a friend who's in the publishing business and perhaps is even a little snooty about it. And she got a copy of the hardcover of this book and she couldn't believe it. She said, this is a beautiful book. It's a high quality publishing job. And so really there's not a downside to self-publishing today. It takes a little more effort, of course. But it for me, it's sort of a fun creative project to see the layout come together and the cover come together. I don't do these things, but I just find people who can help me, who can do a good job. They're pretty easy to find and they're not very expensive. And you can publish a book, you know, pretty efficiently today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Very nice. So where should we send people? Just send them to Amazon? You want them to go to your website?
Well, about both places you can find interesting things. Amazon, of course, you can find my books, audio, paperback, hardback, Kindle, whatever, you know, your preferred format. Now, if you go to my website, which is businessesgrow.com, right on the front page, on the landing page, there's a great big banner for the book. You can click that. And on that page for the book, there's free stuff. So for example, there's a workbook. If you want, it has chapter summaries. If you want to use this with your team, if you want to think about, you know, think this through a little more deeply for your business, there's study questions that go with the book. There's additional material that I'm writing after the book that's available there. There's a free video you can download. And all these things, I don't even ask for an email address. Just go take it. If it can help you with your business, go for it.
Very cool. And I made the mistake the first time you were on, because I'm linking to your past appearances. So you were on 241 mm-hmm. back in the day, and even 129 before that. So
wow,
you're like a staple around here.
What number is this one?
This one is going to be roughly 496.
Wow.
Maybe boy. Up or down one, but yeah.
Well, congratulations. What consistency. That's yeah. wonderful. Yeah, we're in the ninth year of our podcast.
Nice.
You know, and it just grows a little over time, and you just keep sticking with it. But it still brings me joy. I have fun every time I do it. And I think that's important, because and obviously you love talking to people. You love learning new things. And that comes through. That joy comes through. And that's why people love your show, Wes.
Yeah, thank you. But I was going to say, I mispronounced your website, because it's plural, right? Businesses
grow. Yeah, a lot of people make that mistake. See, .com. I thought I was being smart because I didn't call it Schaefer, because nobody can spell Schaefer.
Oh, my gosh.
There's 10 different ways to spell Schaefer.
I know.
Or more, as you know. So I thought, well, no one would ever find me if I make it Schaefer something. So I intentionally made it Businesses Grow, because I figure everybody can remember that. And usually they can, but I do get a lot of Business Grow instead of Businesses.
Yep.
Yeah, businessesgrow.com. And that's where you can find my blog, my podcast, my books, and really lots of cool free stuff for businesses of every size.
Yep. I get Shaver. I get West. Oh, West like East? I'm like, my name is not West.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Schaffer.
Oh, why do we have to end this on such a down note? Man, come on. I was all happy till now.
Oh.
I know. It's so fun. I'm like, come on, man. Schaefer beer. Schaefer pens. Come on. Get with the program.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
All right. Businesses Grow.
Businessesgrow.com.
And I'm on it now. Yeah. I linked through it. And yeah, you've got all kind of people can order an autographed copy from you, bulk orders, the story, the video, you've got a study guide.
Yeah.
Good grief. Graphics.
Yeah. And if you get the audio book, there's a PDF with all the pictures in the book.
Got you.
So that you can follow along with the graphs and charts. And again, it's all free. So have fun and go for it. And the audiobook is kind of special, because people in the book, whose stories are in the book, they narrate their own stories, which is kind of fun. Yeah.
Very nice. Well, I need a lot of pictures, so I appreciate you putting those in there.
Well, now I understand, since English was an elective.
Can't take me anywhere, man. Oh, man. All right. Mark Schaefer, thanks for coming back, man. Great catching up with you.
Thank you, Wes. Always a delight. Thanks so much for your good work.
All right, man. Have a great day. So how about them apples, huh? Self-publish. That was interesting. I did not expect to hear that from him. So it was good catching up. You know, I have known for a long time about the game of the publishers. I think it was 2012. I was having lunch with a New York Times bestselling author. Multiple times. And back then she told me, if you have $400,000, you're guaranteed to have a New York Times bestseller. You know, I was literally just reading that today in another post, how things are gained. It's a scam. It's terrible, but it happens a lot more than you know. So, you know, getting that advice from him, you know, that was cool. Because these publishers, they don't really promote you. It's like a bank, you know, they don't give you money when you need it. And when you need it, you can't get it. You know, these publishers, they want you to have the list. They want to know it's a sure thing. And, you know, I can't blame them, right? It's business. They're not a charity. But it's not like just because you have a good idea, you're going to go make a lot of money selling a book. Like you said, create momentum. You know, no overnight successes. I love the Black Keys story. And what is it? The Porcelain Club. I actually had to look it up. The port, the PC of the Winklevoss twins. So, I mean, there's so much stuff out there. Oh, my gosh. But get Mark's books. Follow him. He's one of the few people that I do actively follow. I read his stuff on LinkedIn. I'll go read his blogs. We're connected on Facebook. Just, you know, what you hear is what you get. Just a straight shooting dude that I've known for years. But, you know, do put out your own content, okay? Do become known. Because like I've always said, people don't do business with you for one of two reasons. Either they haven't heard of you or they have. So if they have heard of you and they're not doing business, well, that's on you, all right? I don't know who can help you. But most of the times, because we don't promote ourselves hard enough, I struggle with this very thing. So I'm hiring a guy to help promote me. I did it for a long time and I'm tired. I need a fresh set of eyes, you know, new promotion. And it's already helped me just as I put things together. I'm speaking virtually at a conference here at the end of April for Infusionsoft, now known as Keep. I'm doing some training based around the reinvigorated Wes that came from hiring someone else to dig in and remind me of my excellence. So, you know, don't feel bad if you're struggling with that. You know, bring someone in. The best always have coaches, you know, and coaches have coaches. It's the way of the world. So get you somebody good. If I can help you privately, if I can help you with your company, if you want the group training, right? If you go to makeeverysale.com, you can get the video content quite affordably, all on demand. If you want that plus interaction, private group, live weekly calls, then it's sellmoreofeverything.com. Enter promo code MARCH to save 30%. All right. Thanks for listening. I'll go sell something.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.